When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
By noon, Tim May will be with us at 1 o'clock. So let's talk a little bit about what we're going to see today. In fact, at high noon, so we're only about an hour and a half away from this. If you work with somebody who went to Iowa University and suddenly their seat is empty today, or they're spinning like they've been at Paupers or something all day, it's because they're watching Ohio take on Jacksonville State. Obviously, Paupers still exist. I don't even
know. I believe it does.
Does it?
So many good memories.
Man, we drove through there. We took a little tour of Ohio University over the summer. So
Can't beat Athens in the fall. Athens in the fall is one of the most gorgeous places you'll go.
I like Cleveland in the fall. I'm not going to lie.
Cleveland is cool. Athens in the fall is cool because there's so many trees and they're all so many different colors. The selling point of Ohio University is Athens in the fall, mixed with a lot of other things that help the cause.
That's funny. never mind. I'll talk to you in the break about this.
Yeah, there's a don't get fired in the summer.
I had a Kent State joke. I'll keep it to myself. So, and I'm a grad, so please. Forgive me. So Ohio University plays Jacksonville State today. That game is at noon. Tulane and Florida, 3:30. That is at the Union Home Mortgage Bowl. Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. Congratulations to the,
Bowl. Okay.
The Strongsville-based company. They're getting some big-time publicity, so good for them. And then the big one, Indiana and Notre Dame. We'll talk about that here in a second. What do you got?
92.3 The Fan, looking for a winner. Enter the code word GOLD, G-O-L-D, GOLD, at 92.3thefan.com by 11 a.m. for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Cleveland Cavaliers take on the Philadelphia 76ers this Saturday, December 21st, at 8 p.m. at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. You can get tickets at Cavs.com.
All right, Indiana, Notre Dame tonight. That is the first of the four games that we have for the college football playoff, the new one for Division One. So SMU will take on Penn State tomorrow. That is at noon. That is on TNT. Tonight's Indiana Notre Dame game is an ESPN and the ESPN family of networks there. And then Clemson Texas is tomorrow at 4:00. And then ESPN's got the next one too, Tennessee and Ohio State. So all four of those games right in front of you, and then the winners will advance on to play the teams that are off this weekend. So, again, Indiana, Notre Dame, SMU, Penn State, Clemson, Texas, Tennessee, Ohio State. Are you pumped?
Let me start there.
I am too.
110% yes. We've made it. This is what we have wanted for as long as I can possibly remember college football, of sitting there and talking to my grandfather and going, oh, the Rose Bowl. This is nice. Pac-12 champ, Big Ten champ. Hey, how come team one can't play number one can't play team number two? Or how come team number two can't play team number four? For as long as I can remember, I've been sitting here saying, like, this is the dumbest thing going. Why can't we actually get some kind of tournament together that will actually crown a champion? That will actually get us to find out who the best team in college football is? Like, that's my whole thing. Like, we're here. We finally made it. Enough people came to their senses. Enough people decided to buck tradition and come to the realization that two things can be true at the same time. One, you can make the fans happy by giving them an actual champion. And two, we can make a lot of money.
I think the key was the bowls, right? Like, all the new bowls that have come along the way, the Gasparilla Bowl, like just taking one for example that we're talking about today. And then, you know, they were able to figure out bits and pieces of this to try to get number one and number two to play after the bowl season, right? That, like, that's how we were able to start this whole BCS thing, which has been around since what? Oh, man, I'm trying to remember the first year they did it. BCS bowls have been around since 98, 99. And, it put Tennessee and Florida State in there. Ohio State, remember, played in the Sugar Bowl for that year when they had the BCS bowl games when they first started. And then you had your national championship, which would be played after that, which was the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, which, by the way, Tennessee won in that 98-99 season. But, you know, that's when we started to get to where we needed to go. And now it, you know, only took 25 years to get to the point where we really needed to be. And I still don't think we're there.
No.
Like, they're making it better for football fans. I don't know if they're making it better for athletes. Do you? I don't know if they're making it better for student athletes, if that's what you really want to say where we are now. But it's almost like the pandemic just broke down every wall possible, and everything started to change and take shape right after that. You with me on that?
You know, I haven't made that correlation.
Everything,
you might be right.
Everything changed after the pandemic.
Well, it took all of these, to use a term I can't stand, it took all of these norms that we had. You know, of like, they might not be rules, they might not be set in stone or anything like that, but they were things we just didn't do. We didn't play football on a Tuesday. We didn't do football on a Wednesday. We had we couldn't do all these different things, and it felt like the pandemic, we can do this. We can make this work. We can make this a thing. And some of that for the better, and some of that for the worse. Like, the better part of it is what you're talking about. Okay, we are done letting better be the enemy of great. We are done looking at things that we can make better and saying, well, we can't do that because we can't make it perfect. So why do anything if it can't be perfect? We've realized that that's a really dumb way to live life. That's the one thing I'll give college football credit for, is they looked at this and went, okay, we can make this better and we can make a lot of money. And so when you have that parallel, you can do it. Now, is it perfect yet? No. It's going to be a bit before you get to perfect, and it's probably going to involve you having to do something that they don't want to do, which is look these bulls dead in the face and say, we're done. We're not doing this anymore. We're not bringing you in on the cash cow. We're done with this industry. This industry is silly. I don't know why we're still doing this. Let's have everybody host these games on a campus, on their home campuses through the first round. Then the second round, let's have the higher seed team host their games on the campuses as well. Then we'll think about neutral sites. So then that way everybody gets a home game. That's when it hits the best. That's when we're finally all looking at each other going, we have got this figured out. Life is great. The problem is we're relying on these committees to look at the bulls who have gone for years with free yacht rides and backslapping and free golf memberships and all the things that the bowl industry does that nobody wants to tap into and go, we really like your yachts. We really like your golf. Like, it's cool to be able to play Riv whenever I want to play Riviera. Like, that's awesome. And I'm really appreciative. But it's just not best for where we are right now. It might be best for me, because I love yachts and golf. But it's not best for the bowl industry. It's not best for college football. And that's when we finally hit the peak. Except I don't think that'll ever happen.
Hmm. All right, so let's kind of go through these games. Who are you rooting for tonight? Let's start with Indiana and Notre Dame. I'll tell you straight up, I want Notre Dame to wipe them off the face of the earth. Sorry, I'm kind of a Big Ten. I mean, I'm a Big Ten fan, but I'm just not a huge Indiana fan. Like, Kurt Cignetti, like, the whole Google me attitude and just kind of the way he, everyone loves this guy. I don't know. Everyone seems to really like him a lot. I don't know. Something rubs me the wrong way.
He's brash.
Yeah, I mean,
he's very brash.
I mean, I was just looking through some of his quotes throughout the whole season. I'm just like, you know, Google me, Purdue sucks, he said. What, didn't he say Ohio State and Michigan both suck too or something like that earlier in the year? I mean, you know, it's like, Uncle, just go be a coach. You did a great job. I don't know that you would have been able to do this if it wasn't for NIL. I give you credit. People picked you to be 17th in the Big Ten this year. I do give you some credit for that. But I'm also giving your players credit for that too. Your attitude for a guy that was at James Madison for 7 years is a little, you're not there, but they're paying him like he's there. So I hope for Indiana's sake and for their fans' sake, this doesn't come crashing down next year. He's in good. I mean, look what he's doing tonight. He is giving the team the most high-profile football game I think they've ever played. Yep. It'll be tonight. There's no question about it. So has he put Indiana football on the map? Yep. Absolutely he has. And I can tell you all the things that I think he's done that have made things positive for Indiana. But by the same token, I just when you've arrived, I'll believe it, and then you can talk the way you talk. Otherwise, go Google yourself.
I mean, this is part of the thing of college football. I mean, this is why I want Indiana to win. I think it'd be awesome. Again, more teams like Indiana coming up and winning this further hammers home how much better college football is than what it used to be. And so I want them to win because I want the little guy to take down a bigger school in Notre Dame. And I'm not calling them the big boys or anything like that. They are a bigger school. They are a bigger fan base. They are, you know, they're Notre Dame. They're one of the national brands that are going. And so I will always root for the little guy in that regard.
Is Indiana really the little guy?
Yes. In this one? Yeah. Indiana football has been a joke for a very long time. I mean,
you want to punish Notre Dame for caring about football, for establishing, you know, one of
Blue Bloods?
Beyond Blue Blood, man. Like, they're the heart and soul of college football. And, you know, you look at Indiana and you look at Notre Dame and you're going to... I have trouble looking at Indiana as being the little guy.
All right, so let's go down. What are your great Indiana football memories, Andy? Let's go down that road. Because the only one that I have is the two seasons of Michael Penix being good. That's the only memories that I have of Indiana football.
Give me a second.
By the way, like, I know I'm putting you on the spot, and I know this is something that you shouldn't do in radio, and it's a bad thing, but
it's not a bad thing. I'm just trying
to think
of... It's
the fact that Indiana football has been horrendous for a very long time. And here they are actually a viable football program. I would feel the same exact way.
Antoine Randall L. was the first thing that came to my mind.
Oh, damn.
Okay,
good call.
So that was... I'm just trying to think of... Trent Green?
That's a good one. Penix is the only one that popped in my head. The two seasons of Penix. I mean, after that, it's like, I got nothing. That's why. Like, I would feel the same way if this was Illinois, if it was coached by anyone else besides Brett Bielema, who is like one of the human beings I can't stand. So I'm going to probably pull for Indiana, and if Notre Dame wins, I'm going to go, oh, cool, this is awesome. Like, that's what I mean by I'm pulling for this. Like, it's going to be one of those where I'm going to be so heartbroken that at the end I'm going to go, wow, Notre Dame, good for you guys. That's awesome.
The number one football player this is according to NFL.com, the number one football player to ever come out of Indiana, Pete Fihos. P-I-H-O-S. Is that how you would say it?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, right up there with Archie Griffin. Come on, man.
That's what makes it cool. In the same way that, like, I'll be pulling for SMU. In the same exact way. Because that thing was given the death program, you know, the death penalty.
Well, they earned it.
It took forever to
build it. They kind of earned it.
They did earn it.
Yeah.
But, like, they took them a while to build it back and all that stuff. Like, I'll be pulling for SMU to win that game. And when they go up against... oh, crud, now I'm forgetting who they're going up against. But anyways, if the other team were to beat SMU, I would look at it and be like, oh, crud, that's a shame. Anyway, woohoo, college football playoff, we got what we wanted. Yay, good football. Like, that's what I mean by rooting. I don't really have much of a rooting interest. I'm just somebody who sits down and enjoys football.
I always think it's funny when we look at these schools and we talk about the little guy versus the big guy. You know how many people go to the University of Indiana if you actually care about? You want to guess? How many people are on their seven campuses they have? Just guess. I'll get us. Oh. How about if I tell you when we come back after break? I'll tell you when we get back after break. Little guy versus big guy I find very interesting in the scenario. All right. Are you watching? Are you pumped? Are you excited? I mean, here we are. We're sitting here. Tonight, it's the first game of the college football playoffs. 216-474-0092. How's that sound? Unless you got something about the Fenway Bowl. You good on the Fenway Bowl? Is that going to be big this year?
No, listen, I want to ask you one question.
You got one question. You can go right now. Go.
All right. LeBron James.
Yes, played for the Cavaliers. Remember him? Yeah, he was pretty good.
No. I ain't got nothing to do with the Cavs. Does he own a part of the Red Sox?
Yes. Yes, he does.
So you think he's a
Red
Sox fan?
How you feel about that? I'm sure he's a fan of making money.
I don't like the guy, but I'm just asking, do you think he's still a Red Sox fan if he's got money invested in him?
Sure. Yeah, but he wears a Yankees hat, so how does that make you feel? Oh, that hurts, doesn't it? Thank you, Boston. Okay, we keep going. Why did I just do that? Because listen to the show if you're going to call in, right? Listen to what we're doing. Like, no, at what point did I ever say, hey, what, you know, maybe we'll talk. We'll probably like to talk about the Cavaliers a little bit later in the show. Maybe just play along with us. Do us a favor. Listen to the show for, I don't know, 5 seconds before you call in, okay? 5 seconds. It's the holiday season. I'm trying to be nice. And Jeff's not here. And I know Jeff normally takes care of the Bostonian because those guys are like super tight. But just play along, will you please? What were you going to say, my friend?
I was more laughing because I was about to give him a legitimate, honest argument and answer before you hung up on him. And then I went, oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. It's the Bostonian.
Yeah,
never
mind. You got to put it in perspective, my friend.
I was going to like have an honest conversation with him.
All right, and we're still talking about college football players. We're going to get into Ohio State here in a second. But, you know, we were talking about that.
He's going to treat them like people.
You were talking about, you know, like Indiana being the little guy here in this game against Notre Dame.
They are.
Indiana has 90,000 students on their campuses.
And
Notre Dame has 13,000. 13,000. Man, you know how hard it is to get into Notre Dame? And yet, we look at them, especially when it comes to football, as elite. Indiana has... You can't tell me that if you had 90,000 people to choose from, you couldn't put together a national championship team?
Apparently, the answer to that is a firm no.
Isn't that insane? Their program has been around since 1899.
Yep.
They have 90,000 students on all their campuses.
That is correct.
And finally, they have a 10-win-plus season?
That is correct.
Come on, man. That's just they don't care. It's a basketball state. Nelson, Avon Lake. Hi, Nelson.
How are you? Nelson.
Hey, guys. Hey, Andy, I'm going to be a good Christian. But you don't have to be nice to the Bostonian, man. But I guess it's Christmas time.
So yes, it's the holiday season, my friend.
I was ready to like have an actual conversation with him, but I was like, oh yeah, wait a minute, that's right.
Yeah, so I guess I'll give you guys a pass. But,
okay.
But anyways, Andy, in terms of football conversation, Indiana has not been relevant since Lee Corso coached there. I mean, it's been a long time.
Oh, is it even Corso?
Is Mallory, it bad?
Bill Mallory was there. They were okay.
Is it bad you said that, Nelson? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Coach Corso was there. Because he's been
Coach
on.
Corso,
I'm 36, yeah, man. Coach My Corso, whole life I've seen him as a guy on TV.
Yeah, Coach Corso had a good run in Indiana back
No,
in
not
the
so fast, my friend. No, I'm just kidding. Keep going. Yeah.
No, hey, nice Bill
Mallory, hey, Bill Mallory had a decent run when he was there. I mean, he took him to more bowl games than anybody else did.
That's true.
For whatever that's worth.
I don't want to make fun of my IU friends. I have a couple friends that are alums, so I'm not going to make fun of them.
Oh, go ahead. Make them feel at home. At least, you know what, I think they want you to make fun of them because now they're a part of the conversation.
I guess. My neighbor's son is actually a Notre Dame student. He's a junior, so I guess I have to sort of root for the Irish today, but I'm pretty pumped, and I know you guys talked about this yesterday, but it's probably going to happen next year. But I wish some reseeding would have been done before.
Yeah,
they're
going to have to. They'll figure it out for next year. And Nelson, thank you. I don't think they're going to do 12 teams very long. They're going to go to 16. I don't know. Do you know how much money they're going to see? How much money they make this weekend on these four home games? Money that's not going to bowls. That's not going, and then all
that
of a sudden you got a gate receipt. Yeah, this money's coming straight back at them. So what are they going to do? They'll add four more teams, and maybe four bowl games will go away, or maybe four, you know, bowls that are looking for teams that are barely 500. Those teams will be able to get in, or maybe they'll give a bypass to a team that's one game under 500 to fill out those bowls that still want to kind of exist. They're going to see how this works. I think the biggest test of the weekend is going to be watching Houston and Kansas City go up against SMU and Penn State, because we just really have never had a head-to-head clash like this before, where, you know, you've got one of the best and most watched teams in the NFL going up against the first time ever home college football playoff game in Happy Valley. Like, how is that going to play out? I can't wait to see what the ratings look like.
It's going to be fascinating to see who's tuning into what, and especially you've got the whole thing of the college football playoff, and as funny as it sounds, it's a big driver for these kind of things. the fantasy football playoffs are also going off. And you know that everybody's got C.J. Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, and Joe Mixon, and
Travis Kelce.
Down the line from there. So you know all this stuff's going to play into it. It's going to be awesome. And I'll tell you, Ohio Stadium is going to be great. And I know that, you know, everybody's going, oh, this is, you know, you're starting to hear from a lot of different places, Andy, that Ohio State might be on upset alert. That Ohio State is the one that a lot of people are starting to circle saying, okay, Tennessee's defensive line, that's some legit stuff. They're going to come after you. And Ohio State's offensive line has been shaky.
Well, they've gone through a ton of injuries this year. Right. I mean, that offensive line's been
shaky. Like,
I don't know. I'm more concerned about the 24% of Tennessee fans are going to take over the shoe. That's the part that I just
control what you can control, Andy. Control what you can control.
I don't know.
Don't affect your game plan. Especially now you've got, you know, headsets. We don't have to worry about hand signals.
How do you feel about this game? Give me Ohio State or Indiana or Tennessee. What do you like?
I mean, Tennessee's ability to run a ball has been unbelievable. Their running back has been awesome all year. He's kind of been one of the unsung heroes. The Athletic did a really good piece on him earlier in the week, basically saying he had all these offers and he didn't like the direction that the program was going until Heupel showed up and basically convinced him. Like, hey, buddy, you got to come here. You need to stay here. You're our guy. And so they have been riding him. I mean, he's been one of the best running backs after contact in all of college football. It's going to be tough. Jim Knowles' defense is going to have to come play. I mean, that's the big thing with it. And the thing with the Buckeyes is that the defense has been there all year.
Mm-hmm.
The question has been the offense and the fact that the offense will sputter every so often. And so, which is kind of funny to say, but if I'm Ohio State, I'm Ohio State fans, I'm slightly concerned on this one. I this is not a pushover game. I mean, this is legit. Now, the good thing is the quarterback for Tennessee. I studied how to pronounce this kid's name, and I still can't do it.
Isn't it Emily Leavia?
I was watching video on how to pronounce it. I can't do it. Anyway.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The
Emilivia.
Anyway.
Yeah.
He's interception prone. So that helps out on that defense as well. And so I think this is going to be a relatively low scoring game. It's going to be one of those games where every so often someone is going to need to tap Ryan Day on the shoulder and maybe during a timeout, tap Will Howard on the shoulder and go, hey, that Jeremiah Smith guy is really good. You should probably throw him the ball more.
Yeah, but if you're saying this is a low scoring game, right?
But this is what happens with the Buckeyes. They like forget Jeremiah Smith's on the over on the side.
No, they don't. He gets double and triple teamed. And they've got Emeka Buka. I think what they need to do this game is they've got to reestablish some kind of running game. I mean, you know, Quinshon Judkins, they got to get him moving in this game, right? He's got to get moving in this game. When you look at Ohio State, just across the board, right? You talked about the offensive line, a little bit banged up, but you know, they've got wide receivers. Will Howard has the opportunity to shake off all the naysayers. They've got to get Trayvon Henderson moving in this thing, too. I mean, those two guys should have been the stars of the show against Michigan, but they weren't. And that's not what Ohio State wanted to do. And even when they were the stars of the show, they would run them straight into the line. There was no, I don't know, as if it wasn't more pre-snap movement or just what they needed to do to get these guys a little bit, you know, a little bit more active in the game plan. They just, everything seemed to shut down. I can't think of a more motivated team in the country than Ohio State it should be this weekend. They absolutely have to. But, you know, you've got to utilize Emeka Buka. You've got to utilize Jeremiah Smith. You know, Henderson can catch the ball as well, too. G. Scott, you know, the tight end, they're going to have to use him, especially if it's short yardage and things are a little bit sloppy and cold on the field. So let's talk a little bit more Ohio State. Can Ryan Day come out of this thing if the worst should happen? I don't really want to think about this. I want to think about tomorrow being Ryan Day's finest moment, just like Apollo 13. 216-474-0092. Bryant Browning's going to join us at 12:20 today, former Ohio State offensive lineman, pride of Northeast Ohio as well. So we'll talk to him, Brian Anderson, at noon, Tim May at 1. We are set for some big football over the weekend. It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The